dare to do it.
Thank you.
Rock of my salvation.
Oh,
come magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised.
Oh, come magnify the Lord,
for he is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Come magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Oh, come magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Now come, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Come, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Well, Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Rock of my salvation, Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation, Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation, Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Blessed be the rock. He is the rock of our salvation. Thank the Lord. The older I get, the more I realize how much I need him too. Thank the Lord. He is the rock of our salvation. Makes you feel like your salvation is secure, solid, don't it? That's true. That's what it's supposed to do. I'm glad to be here this night before the youth meeting begins tomorrow, and to see that we've already got some company here. Brother Gilbert and I guess family. I don't know all that's with you, Brother Gilbert. Suppose your wife and... Is that your son there in the band? All right. Glad to have you. And, yeah. And Brother Joel Cyprian. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You get to hear him playing the bands or the bass guitar. He just seems outstanding on whatever he touches. He's wonderful. He'll inspire you to shout and dance. Amen. It's always good, but let's look for the Lord here. Let's get in this mind of the Spirit and look for God to help us here tonight. And, of course, we have Joanne Weininger's mother and father here tonight, sitting back there. Brother Jim and Cy Street. And they also...
that makes you feel good. So let's pray.
We go to the Lord in prayer and remember Brother Smith tonight. He's made a trip up into Canada, dealing with problems up there, and encouraging and strengthening those people up there. Let's pray for him that God will lead him, guide him as he usually does. Amen. And I trust in tomorrow. Pray for the youth meeting. We really have a burden for the youth here, and we mean to help them, provide a means for them to get a hold of the power of God in their life. Yeah. Power of wickedness and temptations and all the things out here in the world that and get your mind off of the things of God. God is real. And this world is going just like he knew it would go, and just like maybe he wants it to go. And he's still going to have a kingdom in heaven. And you and I are headed for it if we'll stay in the boat. Hold on. Don't give up. Keep seeking him, looking for him. You'll find him. Thank the Lord. I've been in this a long time. And I've had many times when I felt like giving up. But I kept feeling like Peter did. Lord, where could I go? Where is there to go? I've visited other churches. I haven't found anything like this, people. And I'm still happy to stay here with it. But, you know, God have things that happen will trouble us and causes discouragement. I feel like it. All things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. I hope you're all one of them. Amen. You got the arms of God. Thank the Lord for that. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Sister Terry Durham. All right. Amen. Surely it won't be. Sherry Boyd's with us. All right. Good, good, good. All right. Won't be long. They'll be here. Permanent. All right. God is so good. It's a wonder to us here that's been in Little Rock to have all these people from Springfield coming down. And Sister Crow gave a wonderful testimony the other night. She said, I just love all of you. That's about the way I feel. I just feel like I love all of you. I appreciate people that are so devoted, they'll follow their pastor wherever he goes. It's like a shepherd, like a shepherd. Good sheep follow a shepherd, don't they? And so we have good sheep here. Thank the Lord. Sister Elsie. Your daughter Brenda. It's a what? A spot on her kidney about an inch and a half long. All right, let's pray for that earnestly. You don't need that on your kidneys. Dear God, help her, Lord. All right, anyone else? Special requests here. Sister Abraham. Sure. Yes, your car. All right. We pray for people's cars and refrigerators and dogs and everything else. Sister Thompson. Brother Thompson had what? Exhaustion. Yeah, I understand that. Heat exhaustion. I understand that. Yes. Brother Josh. Okay. Brother Josh. Sister Linda. Aunt Jackie Tucker found out she has cancer. It's not possible to do much with it. It's grown so extensively. Brother Stanley, did you have your hand up? All right.
Good to see him here tonight.
Yeah, good to see Brother Stanley here tonight. Thank the Lord. All right, right here. Special situation at work. Your brother Sean and his family. All right, remember those things. It's good to pray for your problems at work too. Amen. We look to God for all our problems, don't we? All right, any other needs here? All right, let's stand, take these needs before the Lord. Dear God, dear Lord, Jesus, follow us, Lord. Lord, and we pray, especially for Brother Smith, Lord, to cover him and guide him, direct him, give him the wisdom, oh God, he needs to settle the condition. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you.
organization, hosted meetings for the body, and I'm excited to be a part. I've got a praise report. So God's doing something. As you know, we've been, made it no secret, asking y'all's prayers. We've been having a little bit of financial problems. This economy, I'm not alone. Many people have been struggling, losing their jobs, getting pay cuts, and many other things. Changing companies, getting bought out. And I was doing nothing but commercial roofing when the bottom fell out of the economy and everybody ceased all any improvements. So all the bids that were promised that I was going to get, they said, no, we're not going to do anything. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And got down to where bank account was getting close to zero and there was no groceries in the cupboard and no gas to go anywhere, and so but Dad needed help on his kennel, getting it built, help take care of his dogs here, and so I've been helping him do that, but still doesn't really. My bills are here and income is here, and so the Lord gave my wife a job. She got a job, and then I got a job working in the evening on something I do. but my deal is a commission only, and selling residential roofs is what I did in Missouri, and it takes a little time when you're going through the insurance process to make your money, to get to all your checks and then balance it out and figure out where you're at on the commission structure. So I'm kind of hanging limbo, trying to just get some gas here and get some gas there. I know my payday's coming on it. And kids coming. Well, I was talking to my wife on the phone, and I was having a stressful day because I had all the many areas pulling on me at one time. I don't handle that too well. Anyway, they were hollering and carrying on in the background, and I said, what's going on? She said, we got an envelope in the mail and with a $100 bill in it and a note. What did the note say, Cindy?
Don't underestimate the power of God and his saints.
Don't underestimate the power of God and his saints. And I had been crying to the Lord before that because I said, God, I'm stressing out. That's all what I told him. I said, I'm stressing out. I know that you're going to take care of me, but right now I'm stressing out, so forgive me for when I act up because of the stressing out. That's what I was telling my Lord. I said, you forgive me, Lord. I'm acting out under the stress. Well, that postmark was postmarked from Kentucky. I don't really know anybody in Kentucky. I mean, I know we've got churches in Kentucky, and maybe there's people who listen to our service over the internet. They may they may pick up on something I said, or the God may lay them on their heart. I don't know, Sister Oates. I think no Sister Oates knows what happened. I think some of y'all know what happened. I called Brother Paul Farmer, left him a message. I said, I found my wet $20 bill. Those of y'all heard that testimony, know what I'm talking about. And I was thanking God. And I didn't hear a voice, but I just felt in my spirit that it's just a little earnest money to let you know that I have a big blessing coming from you. I've got you in mind, and there's something in store. And I just don't want you, I just let you know that I'm here for you. and it is encouragement. And I want to share it with my brothers and my sisters here. That love and have concern for me, and I want to thank God. I wanted to get up and let God know in front of the y'all that I appreciate it. Appreciate the Lord working and what He's doing in my life. He's going to do something for you. Just serve Him. I'm telling you, this is a exciting way. I was thinking, we were sitting back here, and Brother Weiniger was opening up the service, and he mentioned us coming down here, and I was thinking about the generation before my father, and what, you know, that they just had, they really had a boring life. You know, they didn't, and when I say that, I mean they just did their thing every day, you know. But we're on the go. We're serving God. He's got a job for us. And it's been exciting. It can be emotional at times. It can be trying at times. But what other life could I have lived and done as much as He's took me through so far? I almost feel like we wrote it all down. Put it in a book that it could be told in such a way to make it as just exciting as anything in the Bible, any of the stories. You know, because when you read about the children of Israel, you just read it in just a, you know, an hour or two, what happened when they left and the time they got to, if you're a fast reader, I guess, but you could read it in half a day anyway. What they did, it just seems like a matter of minutes, but it took 40 years for them to get to wander around in the wilderness. All that they went through, it was 40 years. A lot of exciting things happened. I've been in the body of Christ. We came in I think 77, just a little boy, 9 years old. 31 years I've been here, and I've seen a lot happen. I could write a book. I think, some of the experiences and some of the people that I've seen, the places I've went, and the meetings that I've went to, and the miracles that God's performed. I'm telling you, there's miracles performed in your lives right here. Sometimes we forget to tell it. Today, the houses that God blew down, Brother Jerry, the deathbed that He's raised us up from, Sister Elsie, the marriages that He's put back together, hallelujah, the jobs He's given, the peace, and most of all, the salvation. We who were once dead, He now hath quickened, hallelujah. Well, if I'm dead, there's nothing I can do if I'm dead. God has to quicken me. God has to quicken me. Hallelujah. He's made me alive. Aren't you glad He's made you alive? And He's doing a work in you that only He can finish. The very thing that He started, that only He could start, He will perform. And He's the only one that can perform it. What's our job? We're to believe. Believe with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul, and our belief will produce an action. That belief will produce an action, fruit. It will produce fruit. Someone say, "Well, you almost sound like one of them greasy grace guys." No, I'm not no greasy grace guy. There's no such thing with me, because I believe that I'm going to be changed into His likeness, made perfect, a perfect stature unto Jesus Christ. Just like I'm going to walk like He walked. Why? Because the Scripture saith it. And if I put my heart and my belief in it, He's going to make it come to pass. So I'm holding on. I'm holding on to God being the head of the body. This is the body of Christ, and we're all that He is going to have a restored church. He is going to have a people to reap this world. And there's many people out here that are looking for something to quicken their dead soul. So we have a job to do. We have a commission. Now, I am waiting to hear from the Lord on when He's going to commission me. There's some people, you know, they just say, well, I thank God this, and I want to know, you know, before I take off, do something that it's God. I've been wondering about this dog out here. No, really, I thought, you know, this dog. Everybody's gave him a name. My daughter said we ought to name him Jesus. I thought that's a good name. Jesus was here tonight. No, she said she came out of the door the other night and was locking up. And it was dark, and he looked, and that dog was standing there with his hackles up. She's staring around. I said, "Hey." He smiled at her and wagged his tail. I thought, he's watching the church for us. He knows every member who belongs here. And if he ain't sure, he's gonna let him have it. Yeah, we got a little security dog out there. I said, I hope everybody's nice to our dog. We have a church dog. He's nice to everybody. He don't come up and get his old dirty coat and next year clothes. So maybe the Lord's gonna speak to us through this dog. He's spoken through many things. Spoke to a donkey one time. I wonder if the Lord's ever spoke to a parrot. But anyway, there was that story one time where the guy, this burglar broke into a house and he was ransacking through the living room and getting stuff, and he heard his voice go, "Jesus is going to get you." And the guy kind of, "What's going on here?" "Jesus is going to get you." And he looked around, and he seen a little old parrot there, and the parrot goes, "Jesus is going to get you." He goes, "Oh." So he started ransacking. He opened up the kitchen door, and the Rottweiler was standing there with his hackles up and his fangs like here, and the parrot goes, "Sick him, Jesus." So I have heard of a dog named Jesus before. No, I want to share a testimony of God's goodness and His love with y'all and let y'all know I appreciate y'all, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah.
Just the way to do it. But in the last couple of weeks, I did about 13 presentations, and I didn't sell one machine. And the other day, I was really starting to get down. I mean, I was, even me, you know. A lot of people look up to me in the business they're in because they think I'm so positive, but even the most positive person in the world can get down. And I was up in this town, and I had 5 appointments. It was yesterday. And I got through the first one. I came so close to selling, I could smell it. I mean, literally. I mean, there's one point where the guy said, "Well, call them and see what they'll do on a credit card." Because, you know, I still call in even though I own the company. And the third person closed. And he said, "No, I changed my mind." I was like, "Gosh, bless." You know, that's like the 11th person I've shown in 2 weeks. And everybody had an excuse or something. And I was like, "God, have I lost my touch or what's going on?" You know, and but I have been praying. I've been asking for help. Yes.
trusting God to lead me day by day. I'm trusting Him to lead me all the way. He lifted me from darkness into light. I'm trusting God, for I know He'll lead me right. I'm trusting God to lead me day by day. I'm trusting Him to lead me all the way. He lifted me from darkness into light. I'm trusting God, for I know He'll lead me right. I'm trusting God to lead me day by day. I'm trusting Him to lead me all the way. He lifted me from darkness into light. I'm trusting God, for I know He'll lead me right. I'm trusting God to lead me day by day. I'm trusting Him to lead me all the way. He lifted me from darkness into light. I'm trusting God, for I know He'll lead me right. I'm trusting God to lead me day by day. I'm trusting Him to lead me all the way. He lifted me from darkness into light. I'm trusting God, for I know He'll lead me right. I'm trusting God to lead me day by day. I'm trusting Him to lead me all the way. From darkness into light. I'm trusting God, for I know He'll lead me right. I'm trusting God to lead me day by day. I'm trusting Him to lead me all the way. He lifted me from darkness into light. I'm trusting God, for I know He'll lead me right. I'm trusting God to lead me day by day. I'm trusting Him to lead me all the way. He lifted me from darkness into light. I'm trusting God, for I know He'll lead me right. I'm trusting God to lead me day by day. I'm trusting Him to lead me all the way. He lifted me from darkness into light. I'm trusting God, for I know He'll lead me right. I'm trusting God to lead me day by day. I'm trusting Him to lead me all the way. He lifted me from darkness. I'm trusting God, for I know He'll lead me right. I'm trusting God to lead me day by day. I'm trusting Him to lead me all the way. He lifted me from darkness into light. I'm trusting God, for I know He'll lead me right.
Certainly feels good in here. Certainly feels good in here tonight. Just want to thank the Lord for coming in here and sitting among God's great host of saints of the Most High God here tonight. Don't really know where to start. I just didn't have really anything on my mind. Just come here to praise and lift up and worship the name of the Lord, because He is a strong tower. When the enemy comes in like a flood, He'll raise up a standard. And I'm glad to be here, enjoying the pages out of these brothers' books. And we have a sister at our church that sings that song, Let Me Read a Page Out of Your Book. And It always blesses, and I just feel like tonight that the Lord will have to help me, because if He don't help you, then we don't want to fulfill the flesh, then we want to pull on the Spirit, and the Spirit is what leads and guides us into all truth, one scripture says, and we're anticipating a good meeting here for the young people, and I have four that I've raised, three and partially raised four. My nephew, I raised him since he was 12 years old, and he's off in the Air Force now, and so raising kids, it's an honor and it's a privilege and it's also a chore. But with God's help, I can sit here tonight, Brother Weiser, and let you know I'm well pleased, and we don't use that word proud around here much, but I'm pleased with my children, how the Lord has got into their heart. It wasn't anything I've done or my wife's done. We've tried to walk the life and live the life and not go through the motions, so to speak, but the Lord has really gotten my kids' hearts. While I'm thinking about it, pray for my daughter. She lives in Austin. She's a hard worker. She goes to the Brother D.O. Jones' church there in Austin. He's opened up a new church in Austin. And her name is Cherish, and she's trying to find her way in life and trying to get back with the Lord. She's going, from what I understand, time to time to that brother's church. But we don't pressure. I learned that about being under Brother Patton. We don't pressure. We pray and we seek God and we ask for His support on our children. And if it was up to me, I'd be knocking on the door every day trying to get her to come to church. But a lot of that up to the Lord. And because if I try to force feed her, or like the old cat, the baby cat, you don't want to open their eyes too early. It might blind them. I just feel good here tonight. Coming in, I feel right at home. We normally have our Wednesday night service in Oak Forest in Humble, and I feel right at home. Everybody, Brother Boyd, when I came in, he introduced himself, and different brothers, Brother met him, and all the feel a good spirit here in these services that we're about to embark on with the young people. A little page out of my book is, I was telling a brother, he asked me, how long have you been in this church? And it was kind of an on again, off again thing. I wish it was on and stayed on, but regrettably, I can say that I got out for 10 years, and it was the worst 10 years of my life. I was young and didn't have my head screwed on right and made big mistakes, and I paid dearly. So one scripture said that the Lord chastens and scourgeth them that He loves. And I got the chasing part, and I got the scourging part, and I was reminiscing of how many times the Lord had to get my attention through a lot of different accidents, and I look back on it. I can count in the 10 years I was out of church how many close to death door accidents in vehicles and motorcycles, and I'm talking end up in the hospital. And did you know I never broke one bone? And He done that for me many, many times. And that 10 years, I was,
If I could say anything tonight, there's one scripture in the Bible that says the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. But the other part of the scripture is what I like, that the Lord, he come to give life and that more abundant. And the thief is out there to steal the souls and the hearts of our young people by what one brother said tonight already, is all these and entertainment and habits and things that the world. And I can, if I say anything to the young people tonight, it would be to say, don't take that step. Don't take that step, because that 10 years, I don't know how many times that I wish I hadn't took that step, because without going into too many details, I shouldn't even be standing here, to put it that way. But the Lord had mercy on me and had a lot of mercy. His mercy endureth forever. I quote that scripture. That's deep in my heart, because he provided a lot of mercy for me, and undeserving. And I'm just here to tell the young people that if he comes knock, the old thief comes knocking at your door, you're welcome to slam that door in his face. You're welcome to slam it in his face, because he didn't come to give life. You know, he didn't come to give life. And I've even experienced deliverance in a lot of areas in my life. That's another thing that I love about this people is, you know, I don't know what other people, how they deal with it, but that's one thing I love about this people is we don't just play religion. We don't just play church. We're here to get down to the nitty-gritty of where we live, in our spirit, in our heart, in our mind, in our character. And it's reshaping us and molding us into his image. And it's given us a hope beyond this veil of tears and this life that is only temporal. And I'm glad to be a part of something that I can grasp my hands on, and that I know that when I make a mistake or when I fall, there's one scripture said that the just men will fall, but he'll rise up again. And we do sometimes have to, I know I do, I get in a position where, Lord, why me, you know? And it's because he loves us. He died for us on Calvary, didn't he? For all our sins. And he cares. He's compassionate. He's our father. What father wouldn't care for their children, just like I care for my daughter that's trying to find her way back? And so I'm glad to be here tonight, and I feel the Holy Ghost, and thank y'all for listening to me and making us feel, you know, warm and welcome in the body. And we send greetings from Oak.
Stand up tonight and give God thanks for what he's doing in my life. I'm really nervous. I don't like getting up and testifying, but I knew last night that I had to get up and just openly, publicly tell God, you know, and let everyone know how appreciative I am. Sunday during service, Brother Smith, we were taking up offering, and Brother Smith asked if, you know, getting ready for the meeting, if we just had any extra cash just to, you know, give it to the Lord, get it for the meeting. And the night before at work, I had closed, and I made $5 in tips since I was the only one there. So I just took the cash, and I was like, it's no big deal. I don't ever carry cash. I don't use cash. So I'll just throw that in the offering. Well, I wasn't even thinking about it, but last night, I was dragging stuff out of my room. I was cleaning up, and I came across a Metropolitan envelope. that they normally put money in. And I was about to throw it away, and I was like, well, wait, something feels like something's in here. And I opened it up, and it was $25. And I was like, whoa, what's this, $25? And I had thought back. I was like, no way. Sister Oates had just gotten up and talked about how she had given her last money at a meeting, you know, and God had replaced that money 3 times. And I'm like, I wasn't expecting anything in return, but just the fact that God replaced that and 5 times more, it was such an amazing thing, just that God's letting me know he's here and he's still in my life and he's still wanting me to continue on and giving for him. And I appreciate him so much, and I appreciate this church and all the people in it and all their love and their support, and I just thankful to be here tonight.
The people from Republic, I may have told this here, I don't know. This is the curtain story. Some of you probably know Brother Horton that was in our church in Republic, and he married Sister Janice and the other in McAllister. But Janice Sutmiller. And this was before he was married to Sister Janice, wasn't it? Yeah, it was when Sister Horton was still alive. He had these curtains when they had moved that were too long for their new house, and he had asked somebody in the church and to do it anyways. They never did get around to it. Well, he asked me if I could do it, and I said, yeah, I'll do it. He wanted them cut off in him so he could use them in his new house, and I got kind of busy, and I had them set in my house, and I think a couple weeks it went by, and I thought, oh my goodness, I've still got those curtains. Brother Horton asked me to do those curtains for him, and they're still sitting there, so I got them out. And we were going through the hardest point in our marriage since Doug and I had been married. We've had some pretty penniless times, but it was pretty bad. When you're out of toilet paper and laundry soap, it's pretty rough. Not to mention food. Anyway, back to the story. So anyway, I got these curtains out, and I cut them off, and I felt, well, boy, there must be some little weights in them. They're heavy drapes, you know, the kind that sometimes they used to put the little weights in them to make them hang straighter. And I felt something there. I thought, well, that's strange. And so there was a little slit where the hem was, and I thought, well, I'm just going to see what that is. I pulled it out, and it was a roll of $20 bills with the, when I took the, this is how long they'd been there. When I took the rubber band off, it just crumbled. It just, and there was five $20 bills, $100, rolled up in a little roll. And I thought, oh my goodness. And so I thought, well, I wonder if there's any more. And so I got to looking, and I found two more. There was $300 in those curtains. I wasn't even thinking about me. I was so excited for Brother Horton. I called him, Brother Horton, you're never going to believe what I found those curtains. And he said, I know where that came from. His mother, she lived with him before she passed away. He said she used to hide money all over the house. He said she hid that money in those curtains. And they don't tell me how many years it had been in those curtains. And I said, well, Brother Horton, you got $300. He said, okay, I'll be over there in a few minutes. So when he got there, he said, I'm going to give you $50 of that money. And I said, oh my goodness, that was like $1,000. Well, it came back, I didn't have any change.
a couple of stories, I guess I could tell, concerning money. It seems Sister Coach, you started this a couple of weeks ago when you got up and talked about money. But, of course, I don't know how everybody else is, but money seems like it. Somebody said the love of money is the root of all evil. But I tell you one thing, if you don't have some money once in a while, you're sure in trouble, aren't you? You know, and my wife and I have gone through slim times. You know, I remember one time I left home in a truck and I had $4.13 in my pocket. I believe it's the 413 or 437. I can't remember exactly which, but it wasn't $5. And I had my son with me, and we went to North Carolina, and my uncle picked us up there, and he took us out to eat, and then took us to a Globetrotters game. I mean, he just really done us well, and it was God that helped us, because he never knew that I didn't have very much money in my pocket. But one time, and this has been a few years ago, I was working on my job, and I had finished up pretty well what I had had to do. And so I just kind of drove out into an area that was kind of remote and parked the truck that I was in, and I was sitting there thinking, boy, it would sure be nice, Lord, if I could have a little bit of money. I said, I'd take Ann out to a dinner, you know. And I didn't have any money to take her out to dinner. I just didn't have it. And so I sat there for a few minutes and looked out the driver's door window at some grass, and I thought, that looks strange, you know. So I got out of the pickup I was in and walked over there. There was a $20 bill standing up there by the side of a weed. And I was in a place where that a $20 bill was not supposed to be there. You know, it either had to blow in there, or else there was somebody else parked there. They was getting their money, and it blew out the window. I don't know how it got there other than that. But I thanked the Lord and went home. I said, Ed, how would you like to go out to dinner? She said, on what? I said, on this $20 bill the Lord furnished for us today. And so we went out to dinner. So, you know, it reminded me, though, of the story that Brother Patton told one time. He was said he was walking along the side of the road, and he said, I was grumbling. He said, I was really grumbling and complaining. He food at home and, you know, had children at home, had my wife at home, and we just didn't have any food and didn't have any money to buy any food. And he said, all of a sudden, the wind kind of stirred and blew some money right up in front of him. And he reached down and picked it up, and he said his heart was pricked. Because he said the Lord dealt with him and said, see, I can furnish you money right out of the grass. You know, he said I repented to the Lord, and he said, Lord, he said, please forgive me for ever grumbling and complaining. But I thought, Lord, if we could just realize how much that God really cares about us. It seemed like it over the last few months or years, maybe, that thought has been impregnated in my mind so dramatically that God cares for us. He cares for you. Brother Leninger, when he was alive, one of the statements that he made one day that just really stuck in my mind, he said, you know, he said, when you get saved and get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you become a child of God. Everybody, and, you know, I thought, that's not nothing new. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. But the next statements he made was kind of profound in my mind, at least. He said, you can walk out them doors right there and you can say, God, I'm through. But he said, the thing about it is, God's not through. And he said,
God will plague you from... He said, God never stops dealing with you. God never stops dealing. That's how much God cares.